Welcome to the SG Engage podcast, where it's all social good all the time. Sit back and relax as the brightest minds from across the social good community engage with trends, big ideas, and best practices to help you drive impact.
Hey everyone, I'm Rachel Hutchison, and I have the honor and pleasure of leading corporate social responsibility for Blackbaud. I'm here today with Sarah Chapman from Deloitte Canada. So, Sarah, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Deloitte Canada.
Sure. So, thanks again for having me today. I have a dual role at Deloitte. I lead our internal corporate responsibility and sustainability across Deloitte Canada and Chile, and I also help to lead our sustainability and social impact advisory practice on the consulting side as well. And Deloitte is a professional services firm across, you know, everything from what you would imagine typically in the accounting world, but also a lot of consulting and tax and financial advisory and risk advisory services as well.
So I know in my world as the leader of CSR at Blackbaud and the research and connections that I have across the community, we're seeing more and more companies and CEOs coming out publicly talking about aligning purpose to their business and the importance they see in being socially conscious, even socially active. So how is Deloitte Canada reacting to this trend? Are you seeing anything?
Yeah. So, and I'll answer that in sort of two ways with both of my roles. I mean, at the end of the day, what it's really about is standing for something and proving it in everything you say and do. And so we do this on the advisory side. We have a big corporate purpose practice that is helping companies think through what is it that they want to stand for. And how do they prove it in everything they say and do, whether that be internal, external stakeholders, employees, supply chain, customers, etc. For Deloitte specifically, we've been on a journey. We have had for many years a sort of corporate purpose statement around making an impact that matters. But for the Canadian firm, it's really now about going deeper in that and understanding what exactly does that mean? What is the impact that we want to have both on for our clients, for communities, for our own people, and for Canada more broadly. So we've been going through a fairly extensive exercise internally to really figure out what does that mean for us and where do we want to be in 10 years and where do we want to help Canada be in 10 years.
That's great. So before we get to you and what you're doing internally, I'd love to know, so how is that practice going? Are you seeing more and more organizations knocking on your door and saying, we really want to do this?
Yeah. And I mean, it's coming from two different sides, from our large public, you know, organizations. There's a couple of things at play. There's investors that are starting to ask more questions around ESG-related issues, particularly given different political climates that we're seeing. We're seeing, you know, a lot of, frankly, employees and customers demanding that their organizations stand for something. So we're seeing pressure from that side, from a stakeholder perspective, but we're also seeing what we call that founder's fire. So for CEOs and the executive leadership, realizing that this is part of their own legacy as leaders, but also from the organization themselves.
So I'm really interested in all this. I'm going to keep asking
you a few
questions
please.
About it. And I think about this a lot. So I also lead our sustainability reporting, and we have our social responsibility report coming out soon. It's our second one. We're really trying to own our journey. Being a mid-sized company, there's not just some blueprint that we can use. We're figuring it out and growing and learning as we go. But are you finding that this is happening more? You mentioned CEOs that want to leave a legacy, or is it that there's a new CEO? Is there any kind of trend of who is kind of getting it? Because in the CSR business, we've been talking about a lot of these things forever.
Yeah.
But now it's like it's in the business press and the broader community is actually acknowledging it.
Yeah, and we saw that, you know, everyone would have seen the roundtable of CEOs that, you know, has established that. You know, I think we are actually starting to now focus it more at the center of the business. So it's, yes, a lot of it stems from a sort of societal good or environmentally conscious place, but actually having it sit within the center of the business, whether it ladders up directly to the CEO, the head of strategy, the head of operations, where it actually has to be embedded, not just driving from the CSR or the sustainability group, but it actually has to have responsibility and layers across all parts of the organization, procurement, talent, et cetera, for it to really be genuine and pervasive across the organization.
Yeah. For us, it has a lot to do with cybersecurity, data privacy, all these things that people just don't realize how important they are. And they're becoming like absolutely fundamental in that contract of trust that we have with our customers. So what should CSR actually be called? Like, it's evolving so much. I every time I meet someone, I want to ask them, is it more social impact? I mean, purpose for sure, but purpose seems vague. Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, we get so caught up in the rhetoric, right? We know there's so many different terms for this type of thing, corporate citizenship and CSR and those type of things. What I'm actually advising clients now is taking a more sort of center of the business approach. So it not being embedded just in sort of, quote, doing the right thing, mm-hmm. but actually being embedded in the business itself.
Like shared
and
value.
Shared value, you know, sitting sort of at the center of strategy. And it has to be a lens from a business strategy, strategic planning perspective. You know, and those organizations that are successful with purpose to make it more than just, you know, a hot topic keyword right now are those that are actually embedding it in their strategic plan and using it as a lens with which they make every decision moving forward.
It's the change manager that is so interesting of how do you get someone to understand that this thing you thought of as a function maybe over on the side is actually very central.
Yeah.
And some of it is just organizational development and how people
100%.
Think. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about your CSR strategy. You have an effort called Tomorrow Together. So what's at the core of the strategy and how are you executing on it?
Yeah, so we went through a fairly significant strategy refresh about 2.5-3 years ago. And coming into that, it was a very sort of traditional approach to CSR. So it was largely baked in philanthropy, donations, and sort of traditional, what we call manual labor volunteering, where we go and, you know, put your t-shirt on and you plant a tree and paint a fence and pick up garbage.
Build a house. And,
And when we actually started to talk to both our own internal people about those, you know, those activities, as well as our nonprofit partners and actually asking, you know, what is the, quote, impact of our impact day? We heard the reality that, in fact, you know, it wasn't necessarily the best use of our skills as a professional services firm.
Yep.
And so we did a fairly significant strategy refresh. And now that is focused on using our skills and our expertise to break down barriers around education, employment, and inclusion. So we've become more focused on what is it that we actually want to achieve from an impact perspective. But more importantly, we're being more strategic about how we invest. And we invest more now our skills and our expertise because we can stretch those muscles further than we can just donations of time or money.
So we've been on that journey too. And sometimes you need the let's go build a house or clean up to get someone who's never done anything to join in on a day of service. Yeah. But we've actually for many years now, even though we do a day of service through our local United Way in our headquarters town, we actually source a lot of the projects. And we do how do you write a high school resume with kids in communities and schools. And we you know, do very specific things that might not be an 8-hour day. It might be 3 hours that you're doing this, but it's much more meaningful and really connect. You know, we're talking about how does our veterans affinity group reach out to the Air Force base and help counsel people who are coming out of the military on how to adjust the language in their resumes to make it resonate. You know, just all these, you know, but we have found that we typically are the ones leading coming up with that.
And we being
the people within the company, we, the CSR team, are finding those opportunities because they're not, a lot of nonprofits don't know to ask you for that. And the services that kind of serve up opportunities haven't, I think, gotten there yet.
Yeah.
But when you look at that, the incredible value of a volunteer hour when it's skills-based or pro bono, it's amazing compared to what I think it's like $19 if for a regular service hour, it's, you know, 100 plus for another one. So, so how has everyone reacted to this new strategy? What do your people, your customers, your stakeholders think?
Yeah, and you know, I'll just go back to the strategy for a second to allude to sort of something that you've sort of talked about in terms of the way that we've structured the engagement that we have in terms of sourcing those projects. We look at it on three levels. So we look at it at an individual level. Where can we as Deloitte, as individuals, sort of engage with, support, mentor, teach, coach, whatever it is, individuals in the community. So whether that's, you know, career coaching or mock job interviews or going into schools and teaching financial literacy, it's that one-on-one engagement that gives our people sort of that emotional connection and that transformative experience. We then look at it at an organizational level. So where are we actually helping those organizations out there that are helping to move those needles, then move the needles on the issues that we're thinking about? So that's the pro bono engagement of the actual organization itself. Mm-hmm. And then we look at it in an ecosystem perspective. So how are we leveraging our own thought leadership, public policy, client networks, to really move the needle on the issues at more of an ecosystem level? Mm-hmm. And through those sort of three layers of engagement, everyone can find something, yeah. right? So in terms of to get back to your question about how have people reacted, because we've provided that spectrum of ways for people to get engaged. Some people want the one-on-one, you know, individual sort of emotional connection. Others want to do, you know, and flex their sort of skills that they use for their clients and actually do that for nonprofit organizations in their communities. Or others want to take a big picture stance on this mm-hmm. and help out with thought leadership and public policy advocacy pieces. So the engagement and reaction has been very interesting. We saw a 1,500% increase in engagement
wow.
of our people the first year that we moved to this skills-based approach. And I'll be honest, it wasn't what we were expecting. We were expecting people to push back, as you said, you know, saying, no, I want to go out and I want to plant that tree and I want to build that house, because we were worried that they weren't going to see the sort of the team building aspect of it or that sort of transformative experience. And they are seeing that.
Because so, they're now working more one-on-one individually.
Yeah.
Well, and they still can and may choose to go out and do those other forms
you
of volunteerism.
Bet.
Volunteerism
you
beats, you know, kind of builds more volunteerism.
Exactly.
And if your workplace is anything like mine, and I'm sure it is, people are bringing their whole selves into the workplace and they really, really want choice. So I love what you said about you're making some decisions and putting some guardrails around your programs, but within that, there's choice for how they want to show up within that. And that is really important. I think we're moving away, and I understand this and why it's important from the day where the company can say, this is what we care about because of who we are in our brand, and not acknowledging the important perspective of that and co-creating it with their,
exactly.
their people. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about impact and results.
Sure.
Is there anything you're particularly proud of?
Yeah, I mean, so it's interesting. The shift that happened with that strategy sort of refresh was our sort of impact reports, if you will, and I quote impact because, you know, there's lots of nuance around impact measurement. We have always been very focused historically on sort of number of volunteer hours, mm-hmm. Number of people engaged, you know, from mm-hmm. our organization. And in fact, those are very internally focused metrics, which are still important.
Yeah.
But in fact, we've revectored our focus on sort of the measurement of our programs, actually on the reach and the impact that we're having in the community. So it's more about what is the impact to those individuals. And, you know, predominantly for all of our programs, that's reach, right? So that's number of lives touched, both indirectly mm-hmm. and directly, both from a material or a moment in time. So we have sort of a matrix of you know, was it indirect or direct? And mm-hmm. was it moment versus material impact? Mm-hmm. And then for some of our programs that are sort of our signature programs, because we have this sort of longitudinal longevity there, we're able to sort of do a deeper dive from an impact measurement perspective and actually look at what has moved the needles, what are the outcomes for those beneficiaries on the ground, which is only possible when you have, you know, sort of that long-term approach to different programs to really make sure that you're seeing that impact year over year and over the course of time.
It is so cool how I'm sitting here thinking, like, so thinking about what Deloitte Canada does mm-hmm. as a business, how you're really your own customer. And you're
100%.
Thinking of, and you're, you know, the thinking that you're bringing to it and the strategy you're bringing to it is what you do with your customers, and then you're doing it with yourself, which
exactly.
is, it's like, isn't it like at home, like home is where we yell at each other and don't follow the rules. But at home, you're actually like totally following your own advice, which
yeah.
is really incredible. I'm somewhat envious of that. So last question for you is, what advice do you have for other companies who want to truly align purpose with business strategy?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's a couple of things I would say. One, Oftentimes we wait for the perfect business case to be created before we, you know, go up the chains of management and
the perfect PowerPoint,
the perfect PowerPoint, the perfect story. And someone once told me that, you know, by the time you actually perfect the business case, it's too late. Like, you've missed the opportunity. So, you know, where there are low hanging fruit and moments to have that impact that you're really trying to see, it just takes one or two moments of true impact to gain the hearts and minds and buy-in from senior leadership to do this. So that would be, you know, don't wait for the perfect moment. Go and sort of get some quick wins and low-hanging fruit. The second piece is really making sure that it's genuine. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it has to be driven at the center of the business in order for it really to be pervasive and proved in everything that you say and do. And that can be challenging, but it has to be aligned to the business in order mm-hmm. for, you know, the execs to understand it. Mm-hmm. And so making sure that it is sort of truly genuine and really sort of at the heart of what the organization does will help to make mm-hmm. it last more mm-hmm. than, you know, your individual tenure at the organization.
And if you don't do that, people will tell, like your own people will call you on it.
Oh, yeah.
So I love what you said about, you know, that low-hanging fruit. I often use the term that I'm grassrootsing it. It's like, if this is an opportunity and it's capturing people's imaginations, take it and see where it goes and learn from it. And I love having the flexibility to say, you know, if the programs don't work, we're going to change them over time because our people change and our communities evolve.
100%.
So, Sarah, it's been really great to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us on SG Engage and sharing your story about Deloitte Canada.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for having me.
You're so welcome.
Great.